This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Isaac rose to hurricane strength this afternoon and should make landfall on the Gulf Coast sometime this evening. It's nowhere near as powerful as Katrina, but the storm will test systems erected since Katrina, both physical barriers like floodgates and seawalls and administrative and political changes. And as Isaac arrives almost 7 years to the day after Katrina, New Orleans Mayor Mitch Landrieu spoke for many when he described a high level of anxiety, as residents remember what Landrieu called the worst day in our immediate history. We'll go to New Orleans in just a moment and check in later with NPR's Debbie Elliott, traveling on the coastline of Alabama and Mississippi. If you're in the path of this storm, what are you doing to get ready? Give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. Later in the program, China's foreign policy owes little these days to Chairman Mao. Vietnam no longer follows the precepts of Ho Chi Minh. Ray Takei asks why Iran still retains the revolutionary fervor of Ayatollah Khomeini. But first, Tropical Storm Isaac, and we begin with NPR correspondent Christopher Joyce in New Orleans. Nice to have you with us, Chris.
Hi, Neil. Good to be here.
And what does it look like now?
Well, a bit rainy, a bit windy. It's just starting to get kind of nasty, but I would not say at this point it looks hurricane style, but the city does seem to be pretty well prepared, actually. Over the last day, been out and around a little bit, and, you know, while there is anxiety because everybody remembers Katrina, the city does claim to be, and I think people are fairly confident that it is much better prepared because so much effort, so much money has been put into basically turning this place into a, you know, like a medieval walled city.
And could you give us some examples of the construction that's been done?
Well, I mean, $14.5 billion worth of levee improvements. I mean, historically, people will remember from Katrina that there were some tragic engineering failures. The 17th Street Canal on the north side of the city was undercut by water and collapsed and flooded part of the city. There were, in fact, numerous failures of levees for various reasons, and investigations showed that really, you know, the Army Corps of Engineers had basically not anticipated having a Katrina-like event, and they weren't up to it. So there are new floodgates all over the place. The levees have been reinforced with these things called T-walls, which are sort of concrete walls that go on top of the levee and are anchored underneath inside the levee. To the east of the city, which was one of the places that really got hit because of there's a big lake there, Lake Bourne, and a tremendous surge over 20 feet, 25 feet came from that direction. There is now what the Army Corps is claiming to be, I think, their largest civil engineering project ever, and they built an enormous 26-high wall with floodgates there to prevent that from happening. And so, you know, all around the city, frankly, almost 360 degrees, there's been a tremendous amount of construction and improvement.
As we know, Isaac will be a Category 1 storm when it hits New Orleans. Katrina, Category 3, much more powerful. But it often isn't the wind, it's the surge. So the timing of the tide matters a lot. And how long the storm lingers and how much rain it dumps on the city, that matters too.
Exactly. The rain is a big deal and the surge as well. The surge now, I mean, the surge with Katrina was at various points up to 25 feet or so. They're predicting surge here possibly up to 12 at the maximum. So nothing quite the same, but nonetheless, you know, you get areas where you know, there are weaknesses and you get a tremendous amount of rain coming in fast and hard. And you know, they're fairly confident that it'll hold up to it, and not only because of the effort they put into it, but there was a hurricane similar to this one in 2008, Hurricane Gustav. That was a two when it hit and then rapidly got weaker, but same sort of thing. A lot of rain, a lot of water, a lot of surge, and things worked fairly well, and that was only halfway through the upgrade. So that also has given people a certain amount of confidence.
There were also some administrative problems, to say the least, during Katrina. Have those arrangements improved?
Well, the administration used to be of the levees. I mean, it was kind of balkanized in that, you know, different levy districts had different jurisdictions and different management. That's been sort of organized into a single organization, and a great deal more input from people outside of politics, you might say. There are citizen members of these of this organization, as well as a lot more scientists. And I think it's fair to say that it's a much more engineering and scientific-based operation now than it used to be.
There's no mandatory evacuation order, at least right now. I guess we're not expecting one now, but residents outside the levee system are told to get to higher ground.
Well, that's one of the interesting things about all of this. When I want to talk about it, this being like a medieval city, you know, to keep invaders out, the invaders being water in this case. But the people outside the city, you know, are basically left to their own devices, and there have been some evacuations of people outside the city. And this brings up a topic that is a sore one, especially among environmental groups and people who are concerned with what you might call the natural protective system of the whole region, not just New Orleans, but, I mean, it's a lot of area that's below or at sea level because so much damage has been done to wetlands, which act as a sort of a sponge to absorb the shock and the surge of both wind and water. You know, these areas are extremely vulnerable, and it's with development of waterways and industrial development, the wetlands have been disappearing, and as they go, you know, you can build up New Orleans, but there's less and less protection outside of New Orleans.
Chris, we'll let you go and continue to cover the story. Thanks very much.
My pleasure.
NPR correspondent Chris Joyce from our science desk with us on the phone from New Orleans. If you're in the path of the storm, what are you doing to prepare? 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. And Dorothy's on the line with us from Baton Rouge.
Hi. We are getting ready. We've pulled in everything from outside. Anything that could become a projectile in this kind of weather. We have got bread and canned foods and batteries and candles and anything you can imagine to get ready for a power outage. That's the biggest thing that can happen in Baton Rouge because Gustav, about 4 years ago, we were out of power for 8 days in our particular neighborhood.
And it does look, just looking at the storm track on TV, it's kind of, Isaac's coming right up the Mississippi Valley.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And the northeast side is the worst side to be on in these hurricanes. So we're battening down the hatches here.
So you've had experience and you've stocked up and you feel prepared.
Yeah, we do. We do. Well, and we've got a full tank of gas in the car on top of it all, just in case we have to bail.
And did you hit the ATM?
Yes, we did.
Okay. Good luck.
Thanks.
Thanks very much for the phone call. The voice and name of Gwen Tompkins will be familiar to many of you. She reported for NPR for many years. She's a native of New Orleans. Her neighborhood, Pontchartrain Park, was hit hard by Hurricane Katrina. She moved back there last summer, now hosts the Music Inside Out program on our member station in New Orleans, WWNO, and joins us from her home. And Gwen, nice to have you back on the program.
Hi, Neil. How are you?
I'm great. The question is, how are you?
I'm doing pretty well, actually. I got a pizza in the oven. But I tell you, I love listening to Chris Joyce and Dorothy up in Baton Rouge because they're both right. I mean, this really is like a medieval walled city now with big doors and stuff. And, you know, right down from my house, actually, there's a huge floodgate and it's been closed since yesterday. And it kind of reminds you of, you know, something that the Greeks might have built, you know, against the Trojans or something. Although, Neil, I'd like to say that as New Orleanians, we would have, you know, we would have found a way to make nice with the Trojans.
It was the Greeks who were after the Trojans, but never mind. As you get ready for this storm, though, I'm sure history provides you with a evident purpose to make some preparations.
Well, that's true, you know, because in Katrina, obviously, I mean, as you said in your intro, our neighborhood was really hit hard, and we never, you know, flood. I mean, you hear this over and over again when people start telling you their Katrina stories. We never flooded, and then we flooded, which we did, and we got like 9 feet of water, you know, and, you know, I live in a one-story house, so you can imagine. But But this time around, yeah, we're all trying to be smarter and to stock up and stuff. But I tell you, Neil, my kingdom for a pack of D batteries, because I have been looking, and I have gone to so many little hardware stores, and as soon as you walk in the door, the first thing the guy tells you is, we're out of D batteries.
I wonder, though, you, of course, live in that neighborhood. You tend to lose perspective a little bit. With the approach of the storm, do you look at the neighborhood in a new way?
Oh, absolutely. It's, you kind of look at it as a, like, I don't know, some kind of a surreal, like magic surrealism or something. I mean, just like Dorothy was saying, all of a sudden you look around your neighborhood and you think, what can fly? What can fly at me, you know? And so you start carting things around. Yesterday I found myself cleaning out the drains, you know, along my street to make sure that when the water comes, it'll actually drain out. And, you know, and then also, you know, there are a lot of, well, I don't know, our neighborhood is about 70% back. So, but there, you know, there are a lot of empty lots here and a lot of empty houses. Not a lot, but some empty houses, I should say. And there are often, there are a bunch of houses that people are building. You know, so they're in various states of construction around here. So, you know, you worry about whether houses that are yet to become houses, how they're going to fare.
Yeah,
you know?
how the Tyvek's going to hold up in the storm.
No, it's true. It's true.
So, are you worried?
Not yet. I mean, I have to say, not yet. You know, just as Chris Joyce was saying earlier, you know, the storm is not anticipated to be, you know, particularly harsh. It's, you know, but, you know, hurricanes are always like this time of reckoning for us. You know, everything gets counted. You know, you count yourself. Am I going to stay? Am I going to go? Who am I, you know, if I do go, who am I going to take with me? Which is a very serious discussion because, you know, some people you can't sit in the car with for that long length of time. You know, it takes a while to evacuate, and, you know, you just have to be with people you like, pretty much, you know.
I was just going to ask you to stay with us, if you will.
Sure.
We're talking about preparations for Isaac, now a Category 1 hurricane, bearing down on the Gulf Coast and the city of New Orleans. Up next, we'll hear from NPR's Debbie Elliott in Gulfport, Mississippi. If you're in the path of this storm, what are you doing to get ready? 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. Stay with us. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan. Isaac was upgraded to Category 1 hurricane around midday. A few hours before, President Obama warned residents along the Gulf Coast to take this storm seriously.
As we prepare for Isaac to hit, I want to encourage all residents of the Gulf Coast to listen to your local officials and follow their directions, including if they tell you to evacuate. We're dealing with a big storm, and there could be significant flooding and other damage across a large area. Now is not the time to tempt fate. Now is not the time to dismiss official warnings. You need to take this seriously.
President Obama this morning at the White House. If you're in the path of this storm, what are you doing to get ready? 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation, and let's get Nathan on the line. And Nathan's with us from Pensacola.
Hi, Neil. How are you doing?
Very well, thanks.
It was heading straight towards us for a while, and we've had voluntary evacuations of low-lying coastal areas, putting sandbags up, boarding up windows, especially because we've had a particularly rainy season, so whatever wind and rain we get is going to be damaging tenfold to a lot of our low-lying areas.
And what are people most concerned about? Is it the surge?
Yeah, surge on the beach. There's a lot of river properties, rivers that are getting rain and then overflowing and flooding into houses. Some of the stores that are in valleys or low-lying areas have already received a lot of damage because of rain earlier this month and earlier this year, and getting even more damaged and then shutting down.
And does it look stormy there in Gulfport?
Well, it's starting to. It's really windy right now, especially as you're crossing bridges and whatnot. But the rain, we can see it coming, and it's heading right for us.
Excuse me, you're in Pensacola. NPR's Debbie Elliott is in Gulfport. We're going to go to her in a minute. But, Nathan, thanks very much for the call.
You're welcome.
So, Debbie Elliott, you are there in Gulfport, Mississippi. Of course, we think about New Orleans, we think about Katrina, but that was an event that devastated the entire Gulf Coast to the east of that city as well.
I actually came ashore in Mississippi, and the Mississippi communities were on the bad side of that storm. You know, that right side of the storm, if you will, the east side is where you get the highest storm surge. So these are communities that are still not, you know, rebuilt yet, to be honest with you, from Hurricane Katrina, and they are watching anxiously as another storm heads their way. I was talking to a woman who lived in Biloxi today who was on her porch about two blocks from the Mississippi Sound, watching, and in front of her were three, you know, slabs where houses used to be that were wiped out by Katrina. And she said one of her biggest concerns was the dead tree, dead trees all around, and should wind knock them and knock them into her house, she was a little concerned. However, officials on this end are not as concerned as they are, obviously, over closer to New Orleans. Not as many evacuations going on here.
Have any kind of preparations been made on the order of those medieval fortifications we're hearing about in New Orleans?
You know, a lot of people have boarded up homes. A lot of businesses are closed. Orange Beach, Alabama, this morning and drove through Mississippi. A lot of people have homes boarded.
And we're having some difficulties with the smartphone that we're using to be in touch with our correspondent, Debbie Elliott, who's right now in Gulfport, Mississippi. We'll try to get back in touch with her and see if we can get something that's a little bit more secure. We back up. Debbie, you there?
Here.
Ah, we're going lo-fi.
Yes, lo-fi on an old-fashioned BlackBerry, no less.
And I, all right, but I wanted to ask, I mean, does the coincidence of the anniversary, does it spook people?
You know, I think it just is a bit ironic for people. People certainly understand this storm is not as powerful as Katrina, and that's something that we need to emphasize. It's coming in on an anniversary, but this is peak hurricane season. This is when the strongest storms tend to hit the United States coastline. So people are, you know, they're remembering 7 years ago, but I think they also see that this is quite a different storm. The concern here is mostly going to be with rain and high water and the storm surge. You're not going to have winds that are going to damage homes as far inland as they did during Katrina. To pick up on something that Nathan said from Pensacola, this region, you know, while most of the country has been in drought, this part of the country has had a lot of rain, so people are already somewhat inundated. The ground is saturated, and a lot of water coming in from this storm is going to cause some flooding for people who live in low areas, and already the water from the Mississippi Sound is starting to push up. Officials in Biloxi were closing Highway 90 as I tried to pass today because water had started to inundate the roadway. So those are the issues that people are dealing with here.
One of the institutions sorely tested in Katrina was FEMA. Any indication of its preparations?
You know, I have seen National Guard troops patrolling the streets here, moving into place. I've seen some power trucks moving into place. I've seen some flatbed trucks looking like they were loaded down with pallets of water and whatnot. So I don't know if those are people who are being ordered into place by FEMA, but I'm assuming so. And FEMA officials are certainly tell us that they are staged and ready, as do, you know, the private industries that will be responsible for taking care of power outages and the like. For the most part, though, it's interesting. There was the same woman I spoke with in Biloxi talked about, you know, though, it's our responsibility. It's up to us. you know, you've got to secure your home. You've got to go get the batteries and water and the backup food supplies that you need to survive for a few days. Be ready to leave if officials tell you to leave. You know, her message was you can't expect the government to do everything for you. You've got to take care of yourself and use common sense and get out of the way if the storm is coming.
Debbie Elliott, we will let you get back to work covering the storm. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Neil.
NPR national correspondent Debbie Elliott with us from Gulfport, Mississippi. And Gwen Tompkins, our friend and former colleague, is still with us on the phone from New Orleans. At least we hope so. Gwen, you still there?
Still here, Neil.
And it's interesting. Yes, there's an element of self-reliance, but there are so many people we remember from 7 years ago who were in positions of great vulnerability, who couldn't get out of the way, people who were in nursing homes, people who were in prisons. Those kinds of people, well, the government's got to step in.
Oh, that's true. Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, sometimes, you know, nature sometimes defies your best plans. I mean, that sounds very trite, but it is true. You know, in my neighborhood in particular, I mean, this is a neighborhood full of, you know, I mean, older people who bought on the GI Bill, for instance, and who have been living here for more than 50 years. And then when the storm hit, when Katrina hit, you know, I mean, they found themselves on their rooftops, you know, having to be rescued by other neighbors, you know, who are coming by in boats. So, Debbie is absolutely right. And the people that she's talking to there, I mean, you really do have to, you know, do something for yourself. But at the same time, you have to kind of hope at least that there is a hand outstretched from someplace if you run into trouble, you know. And, you know, and in the meantime, as I was telling you, you have to sort of, I mean, the thing about hurricanes, there are two things that you need to know about a hurricane. One is, just like waiters, you want them to pass on the right. just as Debbie was saying, I mean, you don't want all that water coming at you. So if they pass you on, you know what I mean, to the east, or you know, then you're fine. And the east means right. And then the second thing that you have to know about them is that they move like mummies. I mean, they're really slow, you know. So for instance, like this one, Isaac, you know, Isaac was going at 10 miles per hour last night across the Gulf. So that gives you time to kind of figure out what you want to do and go over that decision over and over and over again. And if you tend to be kind of a nervine, then it drives you nuts, you know, because you're constantly thinking, did I do the right thing? Did I get everything that I need? That kind of stuff. But you also have to figure out, like, how best can you prepare yourself mentally for these kinds of things? Because it is something that's going to be slow moving, and then when it happens, you know, it's going to happen. And so you just have to be sure in your mind that you're around the right people. You know, my friend, I have a woman friend down here in my neighborhood named Aretha, not Aretha Franklin, but, you know, Aretha. And another neighbor came up to her and said, look, if you evacuate, can you take my kids? Because, you know, the guy just couldn't stand his kids anymore. And you know, and the truth of the matter is we love our loved ones, but they do drive you nuts sometimes. So Aretha has a pact with these folks, and yes, she's going to take their kids if she decides to evacuate. But also, you have to have your papers together, your insurance papers. I've got a little bag with my passport, some family pictures, you know, and my one prized possession, which is you know, my signed copy of Louis Armstrong's autobiography, you know, Satchmo, My Life in New Orleans.
Ziploc bags, Gwen. I think Ziploc bags are called for.
It's true. I've got Lewis in a Ziploc bag. What a wonderful world that is. Were there Ziploc bags back then when he was alive? No. But the thing is, it's a reckoning. You figure out what's important to you, who's important to you, and, you know, how to stay sane and how to stay alive.
Here's an email from Mark. With a six-month-old, we evacuated even though we live in a two-story uptown, which is not the most flood-prone part of NOLA. We're actually headed to St. Louis about 3 days in front of the storm. We call it a hurricane. The likely power outages and potential tap water issues were enough to push us out, and we did bring our dog with us. Let's see if we can go a little downriver from St. Louis, a little upriver from New Orleans to Baton Rouge, and Christina's on the line with us.
Hi.
Hi, Christina. You're on the air. Go ahead.
I'm evacuating to Atlanta, and not so much because of flooding for me in Baton Rouge, but because when Hurricane Katrina happened, Baton Rouge just got inundated with people, and it really didn't handle it well, the influx of people. So I'm just trying to stay ahead of that storm.
So you're not worried about the tide of water, but maybe evacuees?
Yes, and possibility of not having power here in Baton Rouge, because as a previous caller said, when Gustav came through, everybody was worried about New Orleans, but it's actually Baton Rouge that got hit worse, and we didn't have power for a week. So,
and do you have the feeling that in the aftermath of not only Katrina, but as you point out, Gustav, that the officials there in Baton Rouge have made adequate preparations?
I don't know what preparations. I don't know how you really prepare for. You don't know how many people are really going to come. I would hope that the preparations are a little bit better from Katrina and Gustav, but there's just no really way of telling. We just get flashes of schools closed and please stay inside. So, you know, I'm just trying to avoid that.
So you're driving?
Yes, I am.
Well, drive carefully.
Thank you.
Thanks very much for the phone call. We're talking about preparations in the path of Isaac. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's go to Milton, Florida, and David's on the phone with us.
Good afternoon, sir.
Hi, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Well, I was going to say my house was destroyed the year before Katrina by Ivan, and we ended up at my parents' house, and we were out of power for 42 days. And then next year, I ended up in Pascagoula when Katrina came through, and it was amazing to me, just like now. The last 4 days, they've been talking about New Orleans, New Orleans, New Orleans, and they did the same thing during Katrina that, you know, if it goes right up in New Orleans like Katrina did, it's Mississippi that's going to get wiped out.
Because that's on the wrong side of the storm.
Yes, sir, and it blew my mind so much, and it still does. They keep talking about, you know, New Orleans is going to possibly flood and this and that. And it's like, well, what about the state beside it that's really going to take the beating and the flooding? And because Pascagoula was just, it was destroyed. There was nothing left. You know, you drive down the roads after Katrina and every pole was snapped and it was just horrible. I worked there for almost 4 months before I went back home. And like I said, just watching the news the last couple of days, it's the state, this New Orleans and the levees, and it's like, well, what about Pascagoula and Biloxi?
Well,
they took every bit as much damage as New Orleans did.
Well, I think a couple of thousand dead in New Orleans, though. But thanks very much for the call. We'll certainly be watching in Pascagoula.
Yes, sir.
Karen DeSalvo is a doctor in New Orleans. We spoke with her several times after Hurricane Katrina. She's now on leave from her position as a professor of medicine and vice dean for community affairs and health policy at Tulane University School of Medicine. She's currently health commissioner for the city of New Orleans and joins us now by phone from that city. And Karen DeSalvo, nice to have you back on the program. I wish we were in happier circumstances.
I know. It's nice to talk to you, though.
How prepared is the city's health system? What lessons learned after Katrina?
We have taken seriously our lessons learned in New Orleans since Katrina and Ike and Gustav, and even a little bit what we learned from the BP oil spill. And then again last summer, we had some rain. So we are very prepared, actually. The system, compared to prior events, I find we're working much more in coordination. We're using technology a lot smarter, electronic medical records, and have a much better sense of how to do redundant communication. So we're feeling good. We have been leaning forward for days. Those hospitals are strong and have the energy they need, and the same thing with clinics and really the community. So much different picture than in the past.
Resilience, though, after all of these events, are people getting psychologically worn out, do you fear?
Well, there's definitely been a heightened sense of anxiety, Neil, that there's, the timing of this storm is not great. With it being coincident with the anniversary, and people are just, a bit worn out. Plus, it's been lingering. But people are, they're doing very well. We've offered them resources and a call-in line if they need it. But this is a town of people who really know how to pull themselves up by their bootstraps. I know you know that, and I'm really proud of how much everybody is paying attention, right, and using that anxiety to motivate themselves to be safe.
Karen DeSalvo, thanks for all your hard work. Good luck.
Thank you very much. Y'all take care.
Karen DeSalvo from the New Orleans Health Commissioner. She joined us by phone from New Orleans. And Gwen Tompkins, are you still with us?
Still with you.
Still have just a few seconds left. But if you are, in the event, forced to evacuate, you take that Louis Armstrong book with you, okay?
I certainly will. I certainly will. And thank you so much for your interest and your care for this area of the country. Thank you.
Gwen, as always, thanks very much. Gwen Tompkins, our former colleague and our friend, now works at WWNO as the host of a music program there. Coming up, while the U.S. tries to isolate Iran over its nuclear ambitions, Tehran plays host to the head of the United Nations and dozens of other world leaders. Ray Takei will join us to explain the history of Iran's foreign policy and why it thrives on conflict. Stay with us. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News.